for leading as we prayed, and I trust that as they were leading, you were praying. Jonah chapter number 4, if you'll take your Bible and turn there. Jonah chapter number 4. I'm going to finish the book of Jonah tonight, the Lord willing. I'm going to ask you to stand and we'll read the 4th chapter, these 11 verses together, and I'll read and you follow along as I read. The scripture says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it was withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and God, thank you for our study time through the book of Jonah and these weeks that we have looked into your word. And now as we wrap this book up and bring things to a close, I pray that you would help us as we look at some truths that we gather from this chapter. And I pray that we would make personal application of your word, that we would not just be hearers of your word and gather information, but that we would be doers of your word and make practical application in our lives. Father, we ask that you would help us to do this, not so that we would be better only, but so that we would bring honor and glory to your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. As we move through these last couple of chapters, I thought about some things when I was sitting at my desk the last week or so. And today as I was sitting at my desk, I thought, you know, had the book of Jonah ended in chapter 3, could you imagine how Jonah would have been viewed? Let's take a look at what happens. God calls Jonah. Jonah goes a different way. God follows Jonah, and through a series of miraculous events, God gets Jonah to where he called him to go. Jonah goes and he preaches, and a whole city gets saved. And if you read verse number 10, of chapter 3, it says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil, and he's and that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So the book would end. Jonah went to Nineveh like God had intended for him to go, and he preached, and everybody in the city of Nineveh got saved. And you would almost kind of hear someone say, and they all lived happily ever after. And people would have been just talking like, man, that Jonah is the man. I mean, he got off track, but boy, he got back on track, and he preached, and the whole city, that wicked city of Nineveh, those Assyrians, those vile, wretched, bloody savages got saved. The whole city. What a prophet. And you know, in a way, that is what happened. But God said, there's something I want you to know. This is yet another reason that I know, that I know, that I know that this book is inspired of God. Had a group of men been writing this, and I said, I tell you what, let's leave that story right there and let's let it set. This is going to set well. But God said, no, that's not what we're going to do. I want you to know that I'm looking for more than just results. Now, the end result God got, God wanted the people of Nineveh to repent. He wanted Jonah to go and preach. And both of those things happened. Jonah preached, the people of Nineveh repented, and the whole city got saved. I mean, man, that's big stuff. That's a big deal, right? Could you imagine somebody rolling into town and preaching and all of Madison getting saved? Could you imagine that? And we're nowhere near the size of Nineveh. Some people estimate that Nineveh was up to 300,000, 400,000, maybe 500,000 people. We know there was 120,000, what appears to be just children, from chapter number 4, verse number 11. What's Madison? 13,000, 14,000 people? You know? Could you imagine somebody rolling into town and all of Charlottesville and Greene and Madison and Orange and Culpeper getting saved? Could you imagine the buzz? Could you just imagine that? Well, multiply that by some, and that's what happened here. These people were wicked. They were savage. And here comes this man that was disobedient in the beginning, but he got things right. He went. There is no indication that once this fish vomited him out on the dry land, that God met him there and said, now you're going there into Nineveh, or you're going back in the fish's gullet. There's absolutely no indication of that. Jonah got up. He went into Nineveh. And he preached. And the people got saved. But God said, I want you to know that there's more to the story. And notice what the scripture says. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. You know, there's a few things that I read over the weeks that just stuck out to me. One was, the book begins like the prodigal son, and it ends like the older brother. And it's true. You know, the book begins like that prodigal who said, you know what? I'm not going to do what the father says. I'm going to do my way. Give me what's mine, and I'm going to go my way. I don't care. And that's kind of what Jonah did in chapter 1. I'm not going to do what God says. I'm not going to do what the father says. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then the older brother in chapter number 4, that elder brother of the prodigal, look what the scripture says. It displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. You know, you read that over in Luke 15. It says he was very angry and would not go in. Selfish. Unhappy. It's all about him. And Jonah didn't get his way. Notice what verse number 2 says. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying? God, didn't I tell you? Didn't I say this is going to happen? I told you this is going to happen. I told you. I know what kind of God you are. That's why I run. That's why I went to Tarshish. We don't have to speculate why Jonah went in a different direction. He tells us right here. Look at it again in verse number 2. He said, was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? When you came and you told me to arise and get up. Was this not what I told you? He said, I said, you know, therefore I fled unto Tarshish. I knew. Now watch this statement here. I knew. I had it up here. I knew some things about you. I've got some knowledge about God. I've got it in my head. Hadn't made it to my heart, but I've got it in my head. I know about God. Right? See, I'm afraid there's a lot of people doing ministry, and if I'm not careful, I could be in that number. And there have been times I am in that number, where I'm doing ministry up here. Brethren, ministry is from the heart. Ministry comes from the heart. Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, he said that we need to do what we do for God from the heart. As a matter of fact, turn there, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 6. I want to read a few verses out of Ephesians chapter 6 that I think would really speak to you. I hope it does, as it spoke to me. See, God's just not looking for people to tell other people. Now, He is looking for people to tell other people, but He wants us to do it with the right attitude. See, God's looking at the heart, brethren. Not just the heart of those who are being told, but the heart of those who are telling. And if you'll look at Ephesians chapter number 6, look, we'll begin reading in verse number 6 and read down through verse number 8. Ephesians 6, verse number 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Look at this statement. What a statement. Doing the will of God from the heart. That's what God's looking for, not from the mind. Jonah said, I knew thou art a gracious God. I knew that you're kind. I know you're merciful and compassionate. That doesn't help us to do ministry from the heart. Brethren, you've got to believe it in your heart. You've got to know more than know it in your mind. There's a lot of people, you could stop them tomorrow, maybe on your way home from church tonight, and say, how do you get to heaven? They can tell you just like that how to get to heaven. That doesn't mean they're going. Doesn't mean they're not either, but it doesn't mean they're going, right? So what is God teaching us here? Let's read this on verse number 7. So we're to do the will of God from our heart with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. The moment that we get concerned about what other people think, we're going in the wrong direction. See, Jonah was concerned about his reputation more than his character. See, character's who you are. Reputation's who people think you are. That's their formed opinion of who you are. And we seem to be living a day when people are far more concerned about their reputation than their character. Now, there ought to be a concern for both. Amen? But if it comes down to what man thinks about me and what God knows about me, I'm going with what God knows about me every time. I want to please God and not man. Look at verse number 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. See, God's keeping the records. And so if we're just doing things to get a pat on the back or to be seen of men or to be applauded or to get, you know, awarded, God's not going to honor that. Let's go back to Jonah. And basically, that's what God is proving here. He's letting Jonah tell on himself. And so Jonah said, I'm mad. And then I knew this was going to happen. And then he said in verse number 2, look at the way it starts in verse number 2. He prayed. I just want to make an observation here. I'm not going to turn and go to this. I want you to do this. Jonah, when he was in the worst place, prayed the best prayer. Back in chapter 1, when Jonah was in the fish's belly, when Jonah was in the belly of hell, read that prayer in chapter 2. I mean, Jonah is praying and he's saying, God, you know, have mercy. God, save me. I'm offering sacrifices of thanksgiving. And I mean, Jonah's getting in touch with God. Look at this prayer. This is not from a broken heart. This is from an angry heart. This is the way angry hearts pray. I've caught myself praying something like this. Look at what he said here now. He prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying? I told you so. You ever prayed that to God? I told you so. You ain't told God nothing. I know that's bad grammar, but it's so. God knows everything. And here's Jonah saying, I knew it. God said, yeah, I did too. But I still work with you because I love you. And I have your best interests in mind. So you haven't told me anything, Jonah, that I didn't already know. And so Jonah prayed the best prayer in the worst situation. He prayed the worst prayer in the best situation. He just got through preaching and the whole city got saved. Man, what a time for a prayer. He should have been praying, praise God, thank you that I get to be a part of this. What an occurrence. What an experience. What a happening. God, thank you that I get to be a part of this. But instead, he's pouting like a big baby. Selfish. Jonah said, God, I know some things about you. I knew that you were going to do this. When Jonah prayed in chapter 1, you know what he's praying? Chapter 1, chapter 2. You know what he's praying? Chapter 2. God, save my life. You know what he's praying here? God, take my life. Man, this guy's kind of fickle, isn't he? And that's what I want to zero in on. Inconsistencies. You know, a lot of problems we bring on ourselves. Now listen, life comes at us hard. I am not denying that, okay? And so don't anyone leave and say, well, the preacher says that, you know, we can live this kind of trouble-free life. This preacher has never said that. There's trouble. Man born of woman, his days are full of trouble as the sparks fly over. Isn't that what Job said? You're going to have trouble, all right? But can I tell you that your life doesn't have to be characterized by trouble? You don't have to be in Jonah's position here. Look at verse number 3. Now, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. It's better for me to die than to live. What a turnaround. Got a man begging God in chapter 2 to save him, spare him. And here he's saying, take me. You would think it would be the other way around. But Jonah, his heart wasn't in it. You know, when our heart's not in service, when our heart's not in people, when we don't love people, when we don't love God, when we don't love the life that God's given us, we start writing our own story, doing our own thing. I wonder if that's the way you live. I don't know. I don't know the way you live. I know the way I live. I know what I need to work on. I know that if I'm not careful, some of Jonah will slip into me. You know what God did after Jonah did this? This is amazing to me. God had just, he has been patient with Jonah from word go. Hasn't he? I hope you've read through the book of Jonah and you just seen where God was patient step after step after step with Jonah. Jonah goes, he preaches, the whole city gets saved, and here he is again, belly aching and whining and blaming God and just selfish, things didn't go my way. Almost like pitching a tantrum. I just wish you'd kill me. I wish I'd never been born. Don't that sound like a little spoiled brat child? Don't it, brethren? That's kind of what he's saying. You know what God does? You know what you want to do when you hear something like that as a human being? Even, I mean, listen, even when you're trying to live and do the right thing, you got to want to reach over and just smack somebody. I just wish I'd never been born. I'll give you another reason. Right? I mean, that's just craziness. But I want you to watch what God does. Look at verse number 4. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? Jonah, think about it. You've got it good. You've got it good, Jonah. You need to do some inventory. Right? Brethren, is that what God is saying? It is. Jonah, have you thought this through? Do you realize what could have happened? You could still be digesting in the belly, your body in the bellies, in the fish's belly. Your soul could still be in the paradise side of Hades. You could be done, buddy. You could have come here, and instead of them repenting and being and believing and accepting, they could have impaled you. That's what they do, Jonah. That's what the Ninevites do. They're savage that way. Your story could have ended a lot different. Are you sure that you've thought this through? Hey, let me ask you a question. What's it take to make you angry? What's it take to make you unhappy? You know, the things that make us unhappy and the things that make us angry say a lot about us. It really does. Sometimes we think we're not selfish, but if we don't get our way and it makes us angry, it may be that we have selfish tendencies and we might ought to not think so highly of ourselves. And we may need to do a little more inventory. Is that right, church? Sure, it's right. Sure, it's right. We're all apt to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And God is telling Jonah here in verse number 4, he's saying, Jonah, he said, are you sure you're doing the right thing here? Is it well for you to be angry? Have you thought this thing through? And then look, if you would, in verse number 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Well, I tell you, this just gets harder and harder to believe. I mean, it's just over. It's just, you can't wrap your mind around it. The guy preached and the whole city got saved. Instead of going in and helping and being used of God and finishing this story strong, he left his post again. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, so I want you to stick with me. These inconsistencies that I see in Jonah, I see in our churches today. Inconsistencies kill testimonies. Inconsistencies kill witness. Inconsistencies limit what God can do through us. Jonah was a very double-minded man. One moment he's praying, God, save me in chapter 2. Next moment he's praying, just kill me, God, in chapter 4. Right? Right? One moment he said, I'm not going to Nineveh. The next moment he's going. One moment he's preaching and Nineveh's getting saved. The next moment he's saying, I knew it was going to happen. I knew they was going to get saved. Seems like Jonah could see everybody's faults but his own. Did you know that causes us to be double-minded? And the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I want to guard against being double-minded. I believe you do. If you don't, I want to challenge you too. Guard against being double-minded. Guard against inconsistencies. Evaluate. Examine your life. There's people that are watching. There's people that are checking our lives out, and they need us to be strong. When I said pray for your families earlier, I tell you, I've just been thinking, I just want to finish strong. You know, we're living in just terrible times, brethren. Terrible times. And we've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. Please don't think that you can sit here and just coast on in and that you're going to finish on top. It's going to take focus, resolve, work, right? Prayer, encouragement, accountability, responsibility. Hey, winners just don't happen. You have to put some work into it. Jonah lost his focus. Here's a prophet of God, and he lost his focus, and he's up and down and up and down and up and down. What could have been? Yes, God used it, and he brought forth some great things from it. But look at how we talk about Jonah today. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to Nineveh. Actually, I do. I want you to look down in chapter number 4 and verse number 11. I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit because I've got to close here. But I want you to notice this. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Question mark. You know, there's only two books in all the Bible that end with a question mark. You know that? Jonah, what's the other one? Somebody tell me. Nahum. What are both of those books about? Nineveh. Nahum's about the punishment of Nineveh. It is. Read it. Jonah is about the pity. God said, shouldn't I pity them? Shouldn't I spare them? Look at verse number 10 of chapter 4. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, but you don't have pity on the lost. Shouldn't I have pity on them? Shouldn't I save sinners, whether you like them or not? Right? Right? You know, what a way to end a book. When you go down through here, you see that Jonah was so fickle. You know what had happened to Jonah? It happens to a lot of Christians. Preachers. I have to guard against this. As a Christian, you have to guard against this. Jonah got comfortable. He did. And when the comfort of life was taken, he lost his way. He lost his way. I tell you, we have to really be careful not to get spoiled. Living here in this country and having all the things that God has blessed us with, we can become so spoiled that the least little old thing will just tick us off. Man, we just go on some rant, some rampage, and just, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe that happened. Blah, blah. And that, I'm not making light of it. I'm just saying that's not the way God wants me to live my life. And it's not the way he wants you to live your life. Notice what happened here. God did this for a reason. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, after Jonah went out and he sat there in a booth, he built him a booth. He built him a place to sit in there so he'd have some shade. You know, he said, I'm just going to watch and see what God's going to do. Look at verse number 6. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come upon Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Watch this now. So Jonah was exceeding glad. How fickle can you get? You know, it's like Jonah was just clicking his heels together and saying, you know, woo, praise God. I got a little shade. Seen one time that Jonah was glad that a whole city got saved. Jonah had gotten so wrapped up in the comforts of life that's what drove him. It drove him. Hey, it'll drive you too if you let it. It'll drive me. The comforts of life will drive us. The possessions of life will dictate if we're happy or sad, if we're glad or mad. And so what did God do? He created this gourd, and Jonah's all, boy, he's all excited. And God said, Jonah, I'm teaching you something about yourself. I want you to know. I'm going to take something from you that you're happy about, and let's see how that affects you. Watch it. So the Bible says that after God prepared this great gourd, verse number 7 says, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose, and the next day, and smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. If I can't live comfortable, I just don't want to live. What kind of weak person is that? That's weakness, brethren. That's weakness. God help me. God help you. God help us not to be this weak. This is weak. Man got a message like Jonah had that changed a whole city, that changed people's eternal destiny. What a message we have. What a ministry we have. And we're going to just get all caught up and get happy over what we have and get sad over what we don't have and get happy over what's given and get sad over what's taken. And God said, Jonah, look at yourself. And he asked him again the question that he asked in verse number 4. Look at what it says in verse number 9. And God said unto Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? You see what God's doing here? He's saying, Jonah, you're just like you're up and down. You're fickle. You're inconsistent. You're no good to no one. Can I encourage you to listen, I want to challenge you. Take a look at your life. Are you consistent? Do some inventory. What makes you angry? What's it take to make you angry? What's it take to make you unhappy? What's it take to make you happy? You get happy over things that are really meaningless. Somebody gets saved and you just say, we'll see if it lasts. Somebody grows and they're doing well in church and they're getting faithful. Does that make you happy? That makes me happy. Not a gourd. Right? You see, it can happen to any of us, though. And God has given Jonah the test. And Jonah is revealing his heart. He's not serving the Lord from the heart, is he? Is he, brethren? He's not. Can I ask you a question, or you? I had to ask myself this question. Actually, I don't have to read the book of Jonah to ask myself this question. I ask myself this question often. Sometimes I like my answer, and just to be candid with you, sometimes I don't. Try to be honest with myself. So here we go. There's been a lot of, I'm going to close right here. So it said, Jonah, he said, you know, I've tried to show you yourself. And I've tried to show you all that I've done for you. Don't you think I should do some things for them too? Look what he said in verse number 11. And should not I spare Nineveh? Jonah, don't you think that the grace and the mercy and the care that I've given to you and to your people, don't you think that I should give to them? Hey, didn't we just hear that about the Netherlands? Didn't we just hear that about the Ivory Coast, Spain, and our missions revival? Right? I'll tell you something that God spoke to my heart about, and I'm going to close. But I don't want you to miss this. Those that are serious readers of the Bible, and maybe just study a little bit, you know the conversation about the way the book of Jonah ends. It ends open-ended. It ends very similar to the way that the parable of the prodigal son ends. Open-ended. There's real no solution. And so God asked Jonah a question, but we never hear what happened. Let's look at it. Verse number 11, and this is where we'll close. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? And that's it. We don't hear Jonah's response. God said, that's all I want to write right there. So he left it open-ended. And I can't tell you how many people that I've read after that just go into this and say, well, you know what, I think this happened, or, you know, I hope this happened or that happened. And I kind of got into that, you know, trying to figure out, you know, well, wonder what Jonah did. I wonder if Jonah done this. I wonder if Jonah done that. That's not why God left this open-ended. That's not why God left this open-ended. God left this open-ended so I would ask myself the question. What Jonah done is come and gone. The Bible is written for personal application. And I need to be asking myself the question, because I get to answer that question. I don't get to answer the question that was posed to Jonah. But God has asked me the same question. He's asked you the question. If you're a Christian, God's asked you that question. Should not I save the lost? Shouldn't I get the message to them so they can hear? Right? Is that what's happening here? Shouldn't I have pity on them? We've got it good. Well, shouldn't they see my goodness too? And we can say with our mouth, sure. But I wonder what we're saying with our prayer. I wonder what we're saying as we distribute gospel tracts. I wonder what we're saying when we fill out our faith promise. See, our actions tell who we are. Not our words, our actions. And so God just kind of rebuked me and said, you know, I don't know that you really need to be concerned reading about what this one said and that one said about Jonah, his response. I don't know what Jonah did. We'll find out when we get to heaven. And before you're too hard on Jonah, and boy, people have been really hard on Jonah down through the ages. They have. They've been really hard. I wonder if our life is consistent. Is your life consistent? Can people pretty much set their clock by you? Does the pastor know you're going to be in your place on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting? Does the treasury know that your tithe's coming in? Do the people you work with know that they're going to get a gospel witness? Or are we just kind of off one day and on the next, up one week, down the next? Are we inconsistent? If we are, they know. And if we're inconsistent, we pack very little punch. And I'm just shooting straight with you tonight. That's the only way I know how to shoot. And so if you're inconsistent, I'm going to challenge you to repent of your inconsistencies and ask God to help you to be consistent. Be accountable. Be responsible. Be able to be depended on. It should not be named among we as Christians, well, I don't know if they'll be here or not. I don't know if they're going to give this week or not. I don't know if they're going to tell their lost neighbors or not. I don't know if they're going to live this way or not. As Christians, God has a standard for us. And we need to live according to that standard. It's God's way. It's real, it's just almost annoying that when everything's going great, we're praising God, but then we don't live right, we won't be consistent, and God disciplines our lives and we start complaining. Don't complain against God. We do it to ourselves most of the time. We won't be consistent. We won't be faithful. We won't read our Bibles regularly and daily. Get God's word in our heart that we can have some positive and some godly influence in our lives. And we take more in from the world than we do the word. And brethren, I'm just saying, it's not going to end well. I don't know how we could expect it to end any other way. So I want to encourage you now. Have some consistency in your life. You need it. God's looking for it. And those around us need to see it. I want to ask you if you would to please stand and we'll close our service in prayer tonight. The book of Jonah has challenged my life. It's about a guy who had a ton of potential. And though some good things happened, I wonder what could have happened. How the story could have ended. If you'll read the book of Nahum, you'll find where the people of Nineveh became very wicked. Nahum in time frame is after Jonah. Okay? The people went back. Wonder what would have happened if Jonah would have taken the right steps. And maybe he did and they went against it. I don't know. But I wonder what would be in our families. We look at our families, and that's why I said, hey, let's pray for our families. I wonder what could be if we would have been consistent instead of up and down and up and down and off and on and in and out. See, people see that stuff. And they wonder, what's wrong with your God that you can't be consistent? And they begin to question. And I'm sorry that I've been inconsistent. And I don't want people questioning the consistency of my God because of my inconsistencies. I want you to bow your head with me.